Amen. Spirit and truth. I'm thankful again to be with you. I'm thankful for your presence, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. Appreciate Mark and Mitch and your prayers as an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that very much. Appreciate Ethan doing the good job in reading Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. A little bit of a lengthy scripture reading, but I appreciate him doing that. He did a good job, and encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me. This morning we talked about some things that the Bible says about all men. And we understand, as I mentioned to you, just setting the table on that sermon this morning, that there are some things that are limited. Some things that God has, by His Word, limited, and we understand that. But there are also some things that the Bible mentions regarding all men. And so I mentioned to you five of those things this morning. We talked about the fact that, first of all, that we are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And we talked about, number two, that prayers are to be made for all men. Paul was pure from the blood of all men. We'll talk about that one tonight. We talked about repentance was required of all men. And then number five, that God desires the salvation of all men. And I've got marked on here that we talked about Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, but we may not have talked about that this morning. Sometimes I make a miss mark, and so if I did, then you just, I hope, will be thankful for the repeating of that, because it's important for us to understand. The first one I want you to think about with me tonight, we'll have five or six more tonight. I see that the outlines are all gone, and I appreciate that individuals wanted the outlines. But if you want an outline and did not get a chance to get one, you let me know and I'll make you a copy of the outline. But first of all, from Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 10, when Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, he has many things to say unto them. You know, there are six chapters in the book of Galatians, but it's packed full of information. A lot of things that we can learn from this six-chapter book. When Paul is dealing with various different themes in the book of Galatians, he talks about the gospel in chapter 1. He really sets forth a defense of his apostleship in the first two chapters. The fact that men is saved, justified by the gospel of Christ, he talks about in the book of Galatians. And then as he brings this epistle to a close, this little book, but has a lot of things to say in it. He says this in verse 10, that I know and are sure that you are familiar with. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? Unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The context of Galatians chapter 6, we must understand, is written to the individual. Sometimes individuals want to take Galatians chapter 6 and try to somehow make that applicable to the Lord's money, to the treasure in which we gave of our means into 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. That's not what is under consideration. Each one of us, as I have opportunity, as you have opportunity all the way around the room, we are to do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. In other words, unto our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 15, we are to ever follow that which is what? Good. Need to be interested in doing what is good unto all men. I'm going to back up to point 2. I don't think I covered it this morning, but I may have. But at any rate, if I did, then I'll repeat it and that'll be just fine. From the book of Acts chapter 20, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, or the elders of the church that met at Ephesus, he's talking to them and he's really giving them warning of the fact that he knew that after his departing there would be grievous wolves that would enter in among the flock and not spare them and so forth, and of their own selves will men arise speaking perverse things. But Paul states, if you'll notice with me, verses 26 and 27, he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. There's a sense in which gospel preachers can be pure from the blood of all men. Now Paul qualifies that as it were in verse 27 when he says, for this is the reason that Paul says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I didn't keep back, Paul also pins in this section in Acts chapter 20, it stated. I kept back nothing that was profitable, verse 20. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. If as gospel preachers we want to be pure from the blood of all men, then we cannot keep back that which is profitable unto the people. You got to preach to the needs of the people. And you know what they need? What the book says. We have that in common, all of us do. We need to know the instruction that is set before us in the divine record of God, that is in the Word of God, the Bible. And so we got to preach. You know, sometimes preachers may say, well, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. I don't have anything to preach. Well, I beg to differ. This book is chock full of sermon ideas. Go through it sometimes and think about it. We've got a lot of men here that preach and teach and do a good job. But you just go through the Bible and begin to highlight and underscore some lessons that are said before you. I mean, it's just endless of topics that you can come up with. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, notice what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, as Ezekiel, often referred to in the book of Ezekiel as a son of man, and he was made as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Notice what the Bible says beginning in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. As one of his duties as a prophet, as a watchman, was to sound the alarm. That's what he was to do. He says, therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. One of the duties that a prophet has was to tell people the condition that they were in before God, to warn them to turn from their wicked ways that they might live, turn and live before God. But he says, give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now think about the gravity of that. The enormity of that was placed upon Ezekiel. He says, you give them warning. I'm sending you unto them. You're responsible for the word that I'm giving you. If a wicked man dies, he will die in his wickedness. But I will require his blood at your hand. Why? Because you were to give him warning. You were to tell him. He says in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Now that gets a hold of me as a gospel preacher when I think about what the New Testament says and a lot of what these Old Testament passages say, that I want to preach what is right. I want to get it right. But I also want to say what people need to hear in the hopes that they will listen to what the Bible says, make correction in their lives, and go to heaven when life is over. So Paul could say again in Acts 20, verses 26 and 27, that he was pure from the blood of all men. But also I want us to think about what Paul states in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 14. He says, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. This makes a good three-point sermon. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. 4 points, rather, in that one verse. But notice the last thing that he states in verse 14. Be patient toward all men. Sometimes it's difficult to be patient. Are you patient in every situation? Sometimes I wish I had more patience than I do. Depending on what the situation is. But we've got to work on that. But the Bible here instructs us, and He's writing to Christians like you that have obeyed the gospel of Christ, and He's telling them, be patient toward all men. Some people it's easy to have patience with. And other people it's rather difficult to be patient with, but it's necessary nonetheless. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, patience is an attribute that we are to add to our faith. Among those other things that he talks about, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance godliness, and so forth. And patience he lists among those things. These things are things that must be added to our faith. Grow in those things that he mentions in that passage. Be patient toward all men. Think about that. The next time that you run into someone that tries your patience, have your mind made up that you're going to have patience with that individual. At least more. Be patient with all men. But also in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24. When Paul writes to Timothy, notice these words. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto who? All men. Apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Be gentle toward all men. Sometimes that might be difficult to do. Sometimes being gentle is something that is against an individual's temperament. Maybe at times. But you've got to work on it. And be gentle toward other people. Don't be mean. Now that doesn't mean that you cannot stand for the truth. That doesn't mean that you cannot with boldness open up the Bible and declare what the Bible says and let the chips fall where they will. But be gentle. I've never tried to upset someone for the sake of having them upset. In fact, I've never tried to upset somebody so far as preaching the gospel. Just preach what it says. Now, there are times that I've preached a topic that I about knew that there were individuals in the audience that would give me flack over that, who would have something to say about that or be upset about that. But that's okay. Preach it anyway. And the whole set, they'll hear it, believe it, and obey it. They may never have another opportunity to hear it again. But be gentle toward individuals. When Paul was writing again to those of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 7, all these are just simple points, as most of what I've shared with you this morning and tonight are found in the epistles that Paul wrote, which is a section of the New Testament that has to do with Christian living. Or living as a Christian really is a better way to say that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now think of that simile he uses. We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. Gentle, kind. Now think about being soft, not soft peddling the gospel, but just being gentle with people. And that's important for us, each and every one, but especially those that are preaching the gospel, of which Paul was busy about doing. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17, As we think about some things that the Bible says about being extended to all, involving all, He says in 1 Peter 2 and then verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Honor who? Just those that it's easy to extend some honor to. Honor all men. You know, the Bible mentions several that we are to honor in the New Testament. And really a good summation of that is in verse 17 when He says, honor all men. We are to give honor unto our wives as unto the weaker vessel. Children are to honor their father and their mothers. As the Bible instructs in places like Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 1. We are to honor all men. In the book of Romans chapter 13, the context of that chapter, begin with verse 1, is talking about civil government. Some people want to defy what civil government does, and I understand it's not perfect. And I understand that there are governments in the world that would impose upon people that which is contrary to the Word of God. We may find ourselves in a position where government tells us to do something or forbids us from doing something that would cause us to be in direct violation of what the Bible says. And we understand that we are to do what God says to do above all, even above government. But we need to understand as well that civil government is something that was ordained of God, and Romans chapter 13 points that out. And so in Romans 13 verse 7, He says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, now watch this, honor to whom honor. Those to whom honor is due, we need to honor and respect that, because God expects us to do that. To who? Not just to civil government, but as we read from 1 Peter 2:17, all men. Last point, a point that I recently mentioned to you, it seems like, that I've mentioned this at least numerous times in the last few weeks, but it bears repeating tonight. Romans chapter 12, and then verse 18. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I've ran into people, as I'm sure you have too, that was very difficult to be at peace with. Worldly people. People in the world were not Christians, not concerned about doing what was right. They didn't care about being at peace. The only time they really wanted peace was for you to do what they wanted to be done. And anything contrary to that, you just might as well look out. You're just not going to have a peaceful way to go about it. That's the way the world is many times. But He says, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. You know, there may be, relative to the world, not a whole lot that we can do with being at peace with them when they don't want peace. But we can be at peace with one another, as Paul points out in that passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, be at peace among yourselves. We can have peace with God, that Christ came, that we might have the peace that He extended, and that is peace with God our Creator. We may not have peace with those that are worldly minded, but we can be at peace with God who created us and go to heaven when life is over. So I ask you this evening, have you obeyed the gospel? There's 10 points, maybe 11. And I've shared with you this Lord's Day that have to do with all men. But have you obeyed the gospel? You may say, preacher, how do I become a Christian? By hearing the gospel, believing it. Repenting of your sins, that means changing your mind about what you've been doing. Evidenced by a change of life. Stop doing wrong and do that which is right. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 22 and then verse 16. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, not been faithful as you should. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'd like to study with you. I'm contemplating becoming a Christian. But I need to know more. I'm willing to study with you if you want to study. You come forward and let your desire be made known as together we stand and sing.